and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ParaX, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
In the darkness lies the unknown. Travel with us, as it's time now for the Paranormal View, with your hosts, Henry Foister, Kat Cloco, Barbara Duncan, and Jeffrey Gould. Beware of the dark. And welcome, everybody, to the Paranormal View right here on the ParaX Radio Network. I want to thank everybody for dropping by tonight. Got a great show lined up, and we've already getting lots of people in. So we're glad that everybody is here tonight. Hope you enjoy the show. If you have questions tonight, you can private chat them to Ceiling Cat, Tonks Cat. Jeff's not in the chat room.
Sorry.
Or you can send it to me, Henry Foister, and we will get those questions answered for you. And we do have a lot tonight. And I think I'm going to be giving away a ticket to Mid-South tonight. So if you're interested in one of those, stick around. We'll do that a little bit later also. And if you're listening from somewhere else other than here in the chat room, feel free to come over, para-x.com. Click on the live chat button, and you'll be in with all these wonderful people and interact with them and interact with us. And if you have questions and you're not here in the chat room, but you don't want to come in, but you got a question, you can send it to theparanormalview@gmail.com, and we will get that answered for you, because Kat Cloco is watching that very closely.
Yes.
And, right, Kat?
Yes, that's correct. As I check to make sure I've unmuted myself, yes, you can find Twitter at ParaView Radio, and you can also message us at Facebook in our... It's a community, right, Jeff?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Yes, our community, which is facebook.com/theparanormalview, all one phrase.
I'm laughing because we can talk to one another on Skype by chatting, and they're saying, I hear somebody profusely typing, and Jeff said, that's not me.
Yeah, because I'm usually the one who gets blamed in the chat, like, hey, I can hear you typing.
Yes.
Or the one I love is, hey, I can hear you breathing, and then I'll be away a week, and I'll listen to the playback, and I'll hear, I'm like, why do they constantly blame me for breathing when that happens, and no one's saying anything when I'm not there?
Well, tonight we got with us Kat Cloco.
Hello, everyone.
And we got Barbara Duncan.
I can hear Jeffrey breathing from San Francisco.
And we got Jeffrey Gould.
Hello, I'm a target zero of King Jungle feels threatened.
Now, because we got such a great guest tonight, and I'm expecting a whole lot more people into the chat room than what we already have. So I'm going to let Jeff go ahead and introduce our guest.
Yes, well, tonight's guest is Dave Jones, who launched himself into the world of the paranormal due to a November 2000 wedding reception photo. Shortly thereafter, David and his brother Tommy founded the Kentucky Area Paranormal Society, and the outcome of investigations by this organization led to the founding of what was to become the premier radio network, the ParaX Radio Network. That's here. ParaX has gone on and is known worldwide for its quality show and show hosts that comprise it. All since retired, Dave's welder pride in ParaX has not diminished. Well, man, thank you, Dave Jones.
Well, thank you, Jeff. It's good to be here. I appreciate it.
Well, we are glad to have you. And, you know, usually if I would have said something, you know, a couple months back or whatever, you'd have probably declined. But it was like when I asked you this time, it was no hesitation at all. Yeah, I'm ready. Let's do it.
Yeah, it's been too long. When you got a big mouth like mine, it's kind of tough to keep it quiet for very long. But I appreciate the opportunity, Henry. I do appreciate it. It's fun to be back. And for those that are out there, you need to come into the chat room, talk with us. Also, I don't know if you've got a call-in number or whatever, but just any questions are fine. We'll take whatever you throw at me.
Yeah, I don't have the call-in number, but if they want to come on to talk, they can send a number over to us in private.
Very good.
We will call them in. We do that a lot, too. I see Marla's already in.
Yay!
Nyla's in. Reverend Tim just dropped in. So he's going to be here, and they're just all coming in. I have had people send me messages once they've seen the banners that I put up. Lisa J. Smith sent one to you and said to give you a big hug.
And, I appreciate that.
And I believe Aaron Hamilton.
Yes.
She did also. And Simone from Australia did.
Oh, great. I appreciate that, guys. Really, I do. I'm shocked that three people still remember who I am, just to be honest with you. Hey, y'all, and deservedly so. You should not remember who I am, because Para X is doing great, and I'm really proud of it.
Ah, so Big Tim's in. He took a little layoff too, but he's supposed to be coming back on the air. So
cool. Good. He needs to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can't, like you said, you can't keep that mouth down too long.
No. but see what proceeds from him makes sense. Well, with mine, it wasn't. Mine would just, you know, with his, Tim's got something to say. Tim, get back. People need you.
Tim said, and we pay people to remember you.
Okay. Oh, some things never change. But hey, Tim, good to see you.
Well, we have I know I've got a lot of questions, and I'm sure that Barbara and Kat and Jeff does too. You first got into it through a photo that led you into the world of the paranormal in 2006. Mm-hmm. What is the story behind that? How did that come about?
Okay, I've good question. Back in November 2006, my younger brother Tom, God rest his soul, you know, he passed about 3 years ago, but he was getting married, and when we were there, trust me, I had no interest, none in the paranormal, zero. Tom didn't either. We were there, and went through his wedding. And, of course, they were taking pictures prior to that, and they finally were taking pictures of the reception that was at this area, which we didn't know had a history of being haunted. And so
was that a church or like a reception hall? Or
it's like a reception hall. It's a historic building, and they have weddings there all the time. It's just a historic building. And it was really, you know, it was just a nice place to have a wedding and nice grounds and so on to have it. And so, you know, everything went as planned. Good, you know, which was great. You know, and a few days later, Tom said, I want you to look at this. And I said, what? And he said, just look at this picture. And so he sent me the picture via email for me to take a look at it. And when I looked at it, what I saw was that there was this older lady who was walking across the hallway through the wall. And of course, I asked Tom, I said, what the hell is that? And he said that one of his bride's family had the last thing that she did before they left the hall was to turn around and just snap a picture back down the hallway, just, you know, kind of like for old time's sake, let's get a picture of this. And so she saw it and sent it to Tom, who sent it to me. And that's what got this thing going. Now again, here's my interest level at the time. Okay. At the time when I saw this, I said, Tom, this is great, man. I said, you and I and a couple other guys, let's get us a cooler full of beer, rent this place out for the evening, and sit in there and see if she'll come back. That's all we want. We just want to get the hell scared out of us, drinking beer, sitting in a haunted building. That was the extent of what we were going to do. Now, what proceeded from that is, as most people say, the rest is history, is that we couldn't get back into there because they had it booked up for quite some time. And so what we decided to do was to pick another venue to go in and do some investigations. You know, so all we had a couple of digital recorders that we had to go out and buy. We didn't have them. We had to go get them. We bought two of those and a couple of flashlights. And we went into this location. It was a building that used to be used as a mental hospital. And so we went into it. And when we got back and started listening to the recordings, it was unbelievable what we were picking up.
Was that the old Paris Hospital?
No, that was a little bit later on. This one was at it was in Lexington. It's a mental hospital. It's a building they hadn't used anymore. And we were there, and we had put some recorders out where there were some grave sites. We didn't get anything from that. But we went upstairs, and Tom was asking about the floor, because it was a fairly dilapidated building. And so the question Tom asked the guy who went with us said, now is this where this floor goes back to concrete? And when he said that, there was this voice that was in the background that replied back to him. And it wasn't any of us there. We got a couple more kind of things, like just mostly noises. That the voice that spoke, said something to us, was one that really caught our attention. And it was just like, we just got hooked on it. We got to go do this more. So that's when we started the Kentucky Area Paranormal Society. to bring you up on the wording, we had started watching Ghost Hunters, TAPS, TAPS, right. TAPS. So we thought, well, if we're going to be anything legit, it's got to sound like TAPS. So that's where CAPS came from. But you got to remember, I know Henry's heard this before, and I know Barb's heard it before. Maybe I don't think Kat has now. I'm not sure if Jeff has or not. But the original name for the station was the Kentucky Regional Area Paranormal Society. That's craps.
Oh.
Yeah. And so we said that. I said, Tom, that doesn't sound right. Craps? Right. So that's the reason why we dropped the regional. So it's Kentucky Area Paranormal Society, CAPS, just so it sounded like TAPS.
Could have gone with roulette, though.
Well, that's true. That's true. That's where the name came from, was that we were going to work around the Kentucky area and go investigate places. And what happened was that Tom and I, for better or worse, were EVP magnets earlier on. It just seemed like anywhere we went, stuff happened. I don't know if that was by design or by just good fortune. I don't know why that was. But we started getting this stuff. And I don't know if you want me to go on, Henry, about where Parex came from with this or not. So how Parex came from this is, as I was saying, we're getting all these EVP. And Tom had made a website to throw it on it. And so we started getting this stuff, and we're putting the EVP out there and letting people listen to it. And there was a blog, people write back, oh my God, oh wow, hey, well, And so we got even more involved and started going to more places and getting more stuff. And so what we thought was the right thing to do is that we need to do something like every week, just get our stuff together and just put it out there and let people respond to it. And so we started a little show. It was CAPS Paranormal Show, if you want to call it that. That was pretty much it. And we got with a network that was going to do this for us. It cost us $5 a week, to get on this network. And so we started doing shows and presenting the stuff that we found. As it progressed, we wanted to do this live. We started getting all this stuff. We didn't want to wait. Like, God, we got to get on and just, let people hear this stuff. It's amazing. And so we got with this group and said, no problem. So the very first night, what we did was we thought we had really arrived, because we had gotten the owners of Waverly Sanatorium to come on the show. And nobody gets the owners. Good fortune. It wasn't anything else but good fortune. They were going to come on, and we're going to interview them live on this network. And so we got them on there, got them on the, I forgot what kind, it wasn't even a phone then, it was something else. But we got them ready to go. So we got in touch with our producer for this network, and he wasn't there. Because they were the one to do it. You know, what it is, what you called them, they produced it, and you just had to deal with it. Well, they didn't show up. And so we were doing this interview with the owners of Waverly Hills, and it wasn't being aired. So we spent an hour letting the people at Waverly Hills think that we were actually doing a live interview when in fact it was dead air. Now, you know, we didn't record it because it's going to be live, you know. No, it out the window it went. So we got really kind of upset at that. And so we just politely said, you know, we're not going to do this anymore. It's too iffy. And that's when we came up with the idea to create our own network. Like, hey, you know, if we don't like how the owners do it, let's be the owners ourselves. And that's where Para X Radio began. It started out with two or three shows on it, and and that's where it started off. And again, you know, I give all the credit, every ounce of credit, to the people who are the show hosts here, the producers that are here. They are what made Para X great. We were just riding the horse that was just galloping across the paranormal field. It wasn't us. It just, we happened to be in a perfect spot with some great people who are, which amazingly so, many are still here at Para X. And so that's where Para X was born from a stupid picture. And I know it's a lot of talking, so I'll shut up now.
Oh, that's fine. That's interesting.
We love having guests where you say, hey, how are you? And then they awkward.
Yeah. Yeah. Stanton Friedman is the one you want. You tell Stanton Friedman hi and just back away.
he's been here.
I have a question for another long storied answer.
Sure.
I want to hear the story about Henry became the first host of the Paranormal View.
Oh, yeah. Henry will have to correct me on a lot of the stuff because...
it's kind of one of the questions I had, so...
Yeah, sure.
Well, you just asked one of my questions, Henry. Well, so I'm just going to psychically take one of yours.
Question. I'm just going to... something I had written down, like... let's see.
Welcome to our show.
No.
Yeah, welcome to
There we go, Jeff. Cheers, exactly. Yeah.
No. Let's see here. Oh, Parex became one of the top networks. And you had some of the best shows on any network. And then you took someone who did not know anything about the paranormal field and talked them into doing a show.
Yes, we did. And that was, I'll tell you two guys that this was done. Two guys. I'm going to tell you about the first one who is right here hosting the show, and I'm going to tell you about another in just a moment. I'll go ahead and throw that little teaser out there. There's somebody else who did the same thing. So please ask me back, Kat, when you're next time, is you ask me that question. But anyway,
okay.
You know, Henry was involved in this. What Henry's problem was, and it may still be, I don't know, Henry, you may have to fill this in. Henry couldn't get an EVP if his life depended on it. You know, there'd be people out there getting stuff like Abraham Lincoln and George Washington were doing a disco dance. And Henry's going, what? I didn't get anything. Nothing. And it was almost to the point of feeling sorry because, you know, Henry just could not get an EVP. It just wasn't working for it. But anyway, Henry's very devoted to be out there, just a sweetheart of a guy. And so we asked him, said, Henry, why don't you host a show? And the response, of course, was, I've never done this before. This is not something I've done before. And so Henry was somewhat resistant at first to even do it. And so Tom and I just kept insisting, like, Henry, give it a shot, man. It'll be great. You'll do fine. And if you look at it now, I'm assuming, minus probably Marla, Stirring the Cauldron, on Thursdays on the Para X Radio Network. is the most long-lived show on Para X, I would presume, now. Marla predated you, but I think that you're the one now that's the oldest show on. So, we just asked Henry, just do it. And Henry was a trooper enough, like, okay, you show me how to do this stuff and help me along the way, which he didn't need much help at all. A little bit of technical help at the beginning, but after that, well, look where you're at, Henry. You're still here and doing great. And obviously you can pick great co-hosts. This much I can see. So you're doing great with that.
You know, that is one thing that I can say that we've had on the show has been great people to come in and co-host and they do a great, great job because they're always helping me do different things. So I can't complain one bit. I think I got the best crew there is.
I have no doubt about that. Yeah.
So who was the other host that was also the Greenhorn?
Yeah, this one you're not going to believe. You will certainly not believe this. This gentleman was on. We had somewhat run upon this gentleman. I'm going to claim credit for finding him, but I think Tom and I kind of, you know, we found him right off the bat, but it was just, I don't know how to actually say this, but essentially, we wanted him to be on the show because it was just an extraordinary, subject matter. And we just thought it'd just be a terrific show. And I'm going to get the name of the shop wrong. And I'm hoping that he will correct me, is that it was something voodoo, as I recall, was the name of the shop that he had. And we just thought that would be just terrific to interview this individual. And so he came on the show and people listened to him and they were just immediately enamored. Like, you've got to get him a show. He's got to get a show. And Reverend Tim Shaw agreed to do a show. And now if you look back and remember that those very humble beginnings to what he is now, it was the voodoo shop. It's right. And from that point, it skyrocketed. Tim, you know, had the Black Cat Lounge and doing all this kind of stuff on television, you know, just on and on and on it goes. So that was, you know, along with Henry and Tim Shaw, it was just amazing. Another lady, whose name, as I mentioned, is the most long-lived one, Marla, has been here for a long time as well. We talked her into doing a show, and the rest is history. Got one of the most beautiful radio voices there is, got terrific, interviewing skills.
God, yes.
Marla being there, you know, and you know, people like Reverend Tim, Marla Brooks, Henry Foister, and on it goes. If there's anything that I would feel most proud of, is the fact that these individuals, who have this very vibrant talent to bring the passion that it takes to do a show like this, week after week, and just having the complete good fortune to cross paths with them. And they agreed to be a part of this. That's just one of the things that just I'm proud of to this day.
And what's excellent about Henry and Marla and Tim is, as even though they're as passionate as they are and they take the subject seriously, they don't take necessarily themselves overly seriously. So they're not pompous. And you just like to listen to them because they're the humanity that's in all of them.
Good point, Jeff. And they are. They're very serious about what they do. And you're right. We have had guests on Para-X. And since I'm not the owner anymore, you know, so I can say crap like this now. We've had some guests on Para-X on our show and then many of the others who didn't have that quality. And what happened is they end up being on the the scrap heap of the paranormal world because of it. When you rise above the field, and you take yourself as being, the savior of the paranormal, if you will, or you know, if the paranormal just crumbled, if it wasn't for you, these people end up being on the scrap heap. It's inevitable, and we've had several that have been on there, which will go unnamed, but there have been several. I'll put that way.
Well, that's true.
I won't name it either. But we had a guest that off the air we felt a certain way, and on the air we were being very polite.
Yeah, and you got to, you know, that speaks to your professionalism to do that. But there have been some that were we had some. I'm quite certain they're not in paranormal anymore. They were very popular, they again felt themselves a little more overly important than what they were. And it really was one of those things where when we got off during the break, I had to literally tell them to shut the hell up. You know, I really did, because it was getting, yeah, because what was happening was that, you know, they were kind of leeching out of what the questions were into their own little pony, you know, trick pony they wanted. And I'd have to pull them back and say, now, you know, you agreed to this because we weren't going to go into that, you know, some of the stuff they were doing. And I had to tell them to shut up. Just, we're not, I said, you know, this show will end immediately if you don't shut up. So that's what I'm talking about. You know, the audience is what's important about all this. You know, we could get on there, and Tom and I had, we might have had 3 or 4 listeners the first show that we did. And it never got much bigger than that. But, you know, we only had about 3 or 4. And
you used to pack them in.
But we had 3 or 4 originally, and it got better. You know, people started listening more and more. But that was the whole reason why we kept going, is because people were listening. Otherwise, you know, what's the point?
Uh-oh. You still there?
Oh, yeah. I'm here.
Oh, I thought all of a sudden everything got quiet. And
I'm following Tim's advice. He said he used to pretend he had Skype problems when he gets those guests. So I was pretending I had Skype problems.
And then there were some great roundtable discussions too, Dave. I remember listening to CAPS on Sunday, and you had a UFO show that I swear everybody was in there begging it not to stop.
Yes, that was one of the favorites that we had. I'm afraid to mention the guest because I'm going to forget them. But we had a round table. There were 6 different guests that were in there.
Was that when you was talking about Rendlesham?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. That was exactly right. And we had all those. These were the actual players involved in that, who were actually there, who saw it, that were we were interviewing. And we also had, and I know I'd forget, the UFO magazine editor, gosh almighty, crap. I knew I'd do that. But anyway, he was there. Just had a marvelous group.
Was that Eno?
No, Paul Eno was the host of it. We were on CBS days. He was taking the first part of it, and then we took the second part. So we went with a 4-hour format that night, where Paul did the first 2 hours, and then Tom and I did the second 2 hours. And so when we went through that, it was one of the most amazing things, Barb. Just listening to this this roundtable discussion about it was just absolutely, you know, it was marvelous. I would love to do it again sometime, because you don't have these people together that often, and yet they were all right there.
Hmm. Well, we had Paul and Ben Eno on our show, what, about 2 months ago, month and a half ago?
They were the first guests of the year.
Okay.
How about that? That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't live that far away from me. All of us live in Rhode Island.
Oh, no kidding. That's right. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, Kat moved over to Rhode Island, so.
Well, yes. How about that? Yes. Why? that's my question to you. Why?
Okay. My husband got relocated.
Yeah,
so.
For the Rhode Island folks, I'm just just having fun. Yeah.
Hey,
you don't want the Shoggoths and the Yogg-Sothoths to come after you.
No, that's great.
Oh, wow. So, besides that UFO show, what's mm-hmm. one of the most memorable shows or guests that you've had on?
Oh, one, Marla will appreciate this because we had this little running joke. I want to be the first one to interview a real vampire. Remember, Marla? And and so we got into this thing like, who's going to interview the first werewolf or vampire? I'm sorry. And so I started looking on the internet trying to find a real live vampire who drank blood the whole nine. You know, not somebody played, you know, somebody that actually was. And what I discovered about that is that the culture with vampirism is extremely, extremely hidden. They don't want to be brought out. You know, this is going to be a pun. Don't be brought out into the sunlight. See, I knew I'd work that in there. But they didn't want to be known. And you're right, Barb, is that the werewolf contest came next. And I won that one too, Marla. But and I wish I hadn't won that one. I'll explain that one too. But I went through there in all these different blogs and trying my best to get in contact with somebody who wanted to be interviewed, and nobody wanted to. No. They were accusing me of the fact that, no, you're just wanting to ridicule us. You want to get us on CBS and ridicule us in front of everybody. And I was going, no. Honest to God, I don't want to. That's fine. I don't. And finally, after quite some time, I finally got somebody who came on the air to be interviewed. And it was one of the most fascinating shows because this person was a sanguine. They drank blood. What they would do is that they had people who volunteered to allow them to be cut so that they could suck the blood. You know, of course, they said that they got a life force from it. You know, they felt stronger because of it and all of that. And they were really actual honest to God vampires. We got into discussion about, hey, what about, you know, bloodborne diseases and all. We go through a rigorous testing, you know, to make sure that we don't get somebody who's going to give us some crap. And so, you know, the whole discussion got into, now, you know, we got your side of the coin. What's it doing for the people who are cutting themselves to suck their blood, you know? And it was a fascinating thing on CBS. I really hated it to break for commercial breaks because we were, you know, people were just calling in like crazy. It was just really just a remarkable show. And so was the werewolf. The werewolf thing, they also are very reclusive in terms of how they dealt with the subject as well. The lichens, you know, there were a couple of different brands of werewolves. And so we had a werewolf that was on, a real honest to God werewolf. So those are two that come to mind right off the bat. The other one was more personal. And I'll explain what that is very quickly too. Is that we had this one after Tom was no longer on the show. We had a gentleman who was a pet psychic, and I don't know if Barb remembers this one or not. Yeah. I know Barb was there, and so get the guy on there, and you know, and to be honest, if you're listening tonight, sir, I salute because originally I thought, now, come on, you know, but I thought it'd be a great subject. Let's just do it. And so he was discussing, you know, pet psychics and, you know, speaking to pets are in the great beyond and all that kind of stuff. So suddenly he said, I'm getting a pet that you had back some time ago. And I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, it was a dachshund. And said his name was Willie. That's exactly the dog's name, and that's exactly the dog's breed. It stopped my heart in my chest. Like, how did you know that? You know, so that immediately, nobody knows that. And yet, he did. And it was, I'm sorry.
And you didn't have any photos or posts about the dog anywhere on social media?
Not a bit, because what happened was, this is the reason why it was so amazing, is that Willie was older than I was when he died. Willie lived to be 17 years old. I was like 13, maybe 12 or 13 when he died. And this is back way, you know, there was no such thing as social media. There's barely things as newspapers that long ago. I was 12. So there was no way of knowing, no way. I never mentioned the pet's name on there. I'd never discussed it at any given time that I'm aware of. And yet, suddenly, just out of the clear blue, he named it and also named the breed of the dog. You know, and they said the dog's smiling and essentially says hi. You know, and I said, man, you know. So that really stunned me.
Well, the cool thing was the interesting guests that you would get and still keep that Kentucky gentleman demeanor. I remember that. Oh, the guest you had that was the CIA sex slave?
Oh yeah, yeah. Wow, that's thanks for remembering that, Barb. Wow.
The what now?
Yeah, there was a lady who styled herself as being a CIA sex slave, and naturally, me being just the probative reporter or whatever that I was, I thought that ought to be interesting to find out what this is all about. And so we had her on there. Probably, if not one, probably the most ridiculous guest I've ever had. It was absolutely ridiculous. You know, and so I was listening to this and thinking, you know, I couldn't get my feet any higher off the floor, if you know what I mean. Just try to keep getting waste material on my shoes. It was just the most fascinating thing. And so Barb's giving me a lot of credit there. But it was really, it was a huge waste of time.
But I'll tell you, the chat room exploded with that one.
It certainly did. That was the most interesting thing. The show was kind of a secondary thing, because the chat room was much more, interesting. I put it that way, but the questions and some of the comments were great.
Yeah, they're wanting to know in a chat room, where did you find some of these people at?
Oh, that's a good question. What we did originally, when we first started doing the show and we started getting a little bit more, you know, out there, where people were listening to us, we were trying our best to find some other guests. And, you know, we went through the original, you know, stuff about we'd interview paranormal societies, we'd interview individual ghost hunters, we'd interview psychics and so on. So what we were trying to do was to try to get a little bit more, right? We kind of worn that path out a little bit. So let's kind of stretch out a little bit, see what else we can find, you know, AKA the vampires and werewolf thing. So what I would do is that I would get on the internet, and so would Tom. And we just, during, you know, the week, we just start looking, you know, what out there is just so wild that it's going to generate some interest. And just suddenly we would get this stuff that would pop up where we interviewed the guy. Do you remember the guy that was, who was physically altered to look like a cat?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had him on. Unfortunately, he is passed now. Yeah, he's passed. But, and remind me, Barb, please come back to one. This, but anyway, he was on, you know, and we posted his picture up there, and we were just more or less asking for an hour plus. Why? You know, why are you doing this? And it was fascinating. Again, his, pardon me, his reasoning for, going through this transformation to look like a cat, you know. The one, and I'm going to answer my own question, Barb, so pardon me. The one that really, I mentioned the Willie story, but the other one, I apologize for my senior moment of forgetting the gentleman's name. I'll remember it here, hopefully. But essentially, we had him on. He'd written a book about his wife, his beloved wife. He'd been married for years and years. And she passed away, and he was grief-stricken. And so what he had done was, is that he had practiced speaking to the spirit world, essentially. And he got in a conversation with his wife. And he was asking her what heaven was all about. You know, what are you doing? What's going on? And they were communicating back and forth over and over and over again. And he was writing a book on this. And he was talking about what it was like in the spirit world, about, you know, their folks are busy over there. They're not floating around on clouds, just, you know, strumming harps. They're doing things. There's organization there. You know, on and on and on. It's a fascinating book. And so once it was finished, you know, we thanked him for his time, and because he was in his mid-80s. And so we thanked him for his time and how great it was. And he said, I appreciate you guys asking me to be on. And what happened was, is that a little bit more than a week later, I received this email. And she said, hi, I am so-and-so's daughter. And said that, said my father just passed a day ago. And said he wanted to tell you guys that being a part of our show and being interviewed was one of the highlights of his life. Now, when somebody tells you that as they're passing, or, you know, to the next life, that's what made this thing so real, is that he was so wanting to get the story out that it was just amazing that he would mention that and say, hey, guys, thanks for doing this. You know, last thoughts that he had was that. So what you guys do in doing this is extraordinarily important. Don't ever forget that. It's impacting people at a very basic level. And so his name is Norman. It'll come to me. I'm sorry. But I apologize. But it was just we even did a little poster there for a while we had on Para-X, just in remembrance of him, just because of that.
I got a question already from the chat room.
Sure.
Which should be a good one. I mean, I kind of like remember some of it.
Yeah.
But it's been a while. They want me to ask you about you and your brother's alter ego, the Demon Brothers.
Oh, yeah. That was, you know, again, all these great shows come flooding back, and that was one of them. We what we had done, we tried to keep it a secret, and I think we did okay, because Tom and I had gotten this voice altering software that we were using, and what we did was we turned it down to where we're talking like this, but I can't even replicate it. But it was just, we were just being just as obnoxious as we could possibly be. And the unfortunate recipient of this was Marla Brooks, because she wanted to do the interview of the Demon Brothers. And, you know, because obviously her show is stirring the cauldron, so we started calling her the Soup Lady. And it was the most fun time that we have ever spent on any radio show ever. Just bouncing off stuff that Marla was saying and just being just completely obnoxious. And we had the best time. We laughed to where we were crying. We were laughing so hard. And that was the Demon Brothers. As a matter of fact, I think we made a return engagement after that. And I think Marla was also the recipient of that as well. So, you know, we did two shows that way. But it was funny. That was not on CBS. That didn't make it on CBS. And I'm glad. But we call it a soup lady because of being, you know, stirring the pot, you know, stirring the cauldron. So that's where soup lady came from.
Wow.
Good question. Thank you. I appreciate that. I forgot about that.
So that was sort of not exactly an official April Fool's kind of show, or along those lines, or?
No. And, you know, to be honest with you, I don't know why we thought of it. The only thing I can think of is I think maybe Tom did it, because he had found this voice altering stuff. And he was, as a matter of fact, I think I remember now what it was, is that he was on Sam Broadcaster. And I think Sam's got that capability to change your voice. And part of that was to alter it such a way that you had this real gravelly, deep voice. He said, listen to this stuff. And he played it. And I said, man, that's great. And that's where it came from. So we were sitting, as I recall, we were in a motel room somewhere when we were doing the interview at some kind of investigation or whatever. And that's where it all came from. We're just sitting there just having just a great time. Everything Marla asks of us, any kind of question she came up with, any kind of a statement, we just turned it on her and we just, it was unbelievable. We had a great time. And Marla, thank you for being such a great host and being so generous with us on that one.
And Barbara, who'd you say he was?
I remember an encore solo performance of that on Marla's show called Bob. You were Bob the Demon.
Yeah, Bob the Demon. Bob the Demon. Yeah, I forgot about Bob the Demon. Yeah. Yeah, that was a little bit different voice because I had different software. So it was a little bit different, but it was Bob the Demon. Yeah.
You just have all kinds of guys on there. And after break, we'll talk to you some about going to different places where you would do your show live from.
Yes.
I got to go to quite a few of those places also. The first place that that I got to travel to, I believe, was it was Waverly. First place I went to was Waverly with you.
Yes.
And at the time, you guys were broadcasting on CBS.
Correct, yes.
And at that time at Waverly, you and Tommy took me to the side and asked me a question.
Yeah.
You said CBS wants you to be on their network.
Right. Yeah. How about those apples? Yeah. See, the cream rises to the top, Henry. So that's the reason why.
And the first show that we broadcast on CBS was at Fort Mifflin.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes.
And that was one of the places that I traveled to with you guys. So.
Yeah.
Real interesting. He had a great network. I'm going to ask you one question.
Sure.
Do you miss doing it?
Is this before or after break now?
So. It's going to take that long, is it?
It might. It might. You know, I got a short or a long answer. You pick which one you want.
you just give whatever answer you want, and then we'll work break in, so you don't have to worry about that.
Okay. Yeah, I do. I do miss it. I miss it in a lot of ways, and I'll give you some of the reasons why. Hey, Move, how you doing? I see her out there. You know, my favorite cow. The only cow I know, as a matter of fact, Move. So you have to be my favorite. It's the only one I've got. I miss it because of the people. I miss it because of you guys. I miss the back and forth of intelligent conversation about a subject matter that has no boundaries. There are no hard and fast rules with it, and that's a terrific thing when you get people who are seriously wanting to discuss things that have no real definitive answers. It is a lot of fun. And I keep saying again, intelligent. That's one of the things about Para-X that I loved, is that it was intelligent talk. With some minor exceptions, that's what it was. And to bounce that off, and here's the great thing, and Barb has said this before, and with Jeff and Kat, I've not had the pleasure so much, and I apologize for that. And, of course, Henry was too, is that we could get into those kind of deep corners of this kind of discussion, and we'd come out friends, we'd come out, you know, ha, 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 you know, everything great, you know, and had the best conversations ever. Nobody got mad. Nobody got upset because they knew where you were coming from. We were honestly trying to get to the bottom of the subject. We were trying. And again, it didn't really matter what your opinion was, because your opinion was just like anybody else's in this field. is just as valuable or just as invaluable. You know, it just, you just, you had an opportunity to learn from each other. And that was the beauty of it. And I miss that so terribly bad. Kat mentioned Toss Up. Toss Up was my solo shot at doing a show when it was on there. And it was very similar to that. It was just throwing out some something that just, we wanted to discuss it, but everybody came back from that. Not being offended. That's one of the things that if there's anything I could be proud of, and beyond some of the other things, is that we didn't get personal in what we did. We weren't calling names. We weren't saying that somebody was stupid. Some of the there were some ladies who had a show who were really good at saying that. if you know what I mean, I won't mention them. But they were divas.
if they really are who I think they are, they were my first show I ever did as a guest.
Certainly. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Was up, had real foul mouths.
Very. Yes. Yeah, very.
Yes.
And they were quite fond of ruining people's lives if they got the chance.
Yes.
I'll say that. But we did that, and that was the great stuff. We would talk about it, and we would have just some of the most terrific discussions. And again, like I said, nobody got angry, nobody called each other names, and we all came away enriched by it. Because I've had many of my ways of looking at things changed by you folks, which I'm very grateful for, because you can get very myopic in the paranormal if you're not careful, by having a certain viewpoint that you just absolutely are fixated upon, and you can't be shaken from it. And I certainly expect that there's going to be a question somewhere along the way about my least favorite part of the paranormal. And I'll be happy to explain that. So, Henry, if you need to take a break, man, I'll be right here. I'm not going anywhere.
All right. I'll tell you what we're going to do before we do a break. And I got some tickets. If somebody would like a ticket to the Mid-South Paranormal Convention, which is in July 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, and it is in Louisville, Kentucky. You need to send me a private message or send it by email to theparanormalview@gmail.com.
No, it should be only one way, Henry. How many tickets are you giving away first?
Well,
just one?
No, I'll give a couple away if I get people that actually wants them. But it can only be one ticket per household. So
you're clarifying there's no plus one. It's a single ticket.
It's a single ticket per household. No, yeah. If two or three different people wants a ticket, I'll be glad to give one away. But it can't be like to a husband, wife, or whoever, you know. It has to be one ticket only to a household is the way it has to be done. Because I have to have your name.
This is why people shouldn't get married.
Yeah, well.
Apparently,
I'm not going to comment on that one.
Nor should I. But
the tickets, you will pick them up. It'll be reserved for you at Mid-South, and when you go there, you can give them your information, and you would have your ticket. The ticket is good for the party on Friday night, and it's good for all day Saturday and all day Sunday. You'd have a great time down there. You can go online to the Mid-South event and see all the different guests that they're going to have there, and they've got quite a few already lined up. So it's a great event. With that...
Sorry, honey. My entry got in before yours.
Well, I can give more than one away. So just... Usually what it is because people live so far away, a lot of people don't want to really try and travel to it.
Oh, well, yeah, that makes sense.
I want to make sure that people is actually wanting the ticket to be able to actually go there, not just to try and win something. because they're non-transferable. You can't redeem.
So preferably local.
Yeah, you can't redeem them for money. There's no value in them. So you get a ticket, you can pick it up there and get.
I haven't seen it in a long time, but I always miss when you had grocery coupons. They said they were each worth 1/12 of a penny.
1/12 of a penny?
Yeah, if you were trying, you couldn't redeem them apart from buying something. If you couldn't redeem the coupon itself or the cash savings on, if you didn't buy it, it was 1/12 of a penny. So you're like, oh, I just need 11 more of these coupons. And
so for all our listeners, if you are interested in getting this ticket, are we going to be doing this multiple weekends, Henry?
Probably, because I've got quite a few to be able to give away. So.
Okay. So if you are interested in getting a ticket, let's give away, what, 3 tonight?
We can give 3 away if
that okay.
wants them. And some of the people that's going to be there, I will be there. Miami, Tina will be there. I don't know if there's anybody else here in the chat room that might be there. Dave might even drop by. I don't know.
You never know. That might be interesting.
Okay, so if you are interested in a ticket, they will be available tonight only. So if you are listening to this via the archive show, we cannot give it to you then. You'll have to listen to it live. So anyone in our chat room and listening live, we have 3 tickets to give away. You can email us at theparanormalview@gmail.com, or you could, was it private message, Henry?
Yeah, you can private message either me or Kat. And these are the things that I would need from, I would need your name and email.
Okay.
Okay, because they will come for, you know, they'll send you a confirmation from the people.
And after all this time, people know what time we're on live, and we have listeners all over the world, so.
Yes. So, with that, we're going to take a quick break. It's not going to be very long. So we can get back to talking with Dave, and might even have one or so many other people drop by. You never can tell. So
Dave is checking his stock market ticker there.
Yeah. Click, 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 click. I know. I try to get our keyboard doesn't do that. I fail.
Time on a memory.
So let's see. Jeff, I believe, is checking us out.
Oh, yeah.
And Kat, you want to bring us back?
Sure thing.
All right, I'll send you the thing for coming back. How's that sound? Okie doke.
Okay, well, you're listening to The Paranormal View on para-x.com with your hosts, Henry Foister, Ceiling Cat Barbara Duncan, our Kat Cloco, and myself, Jeffrey Gould, with tonight's guest, Para-X founder, awesome David Jones. So stay tuned for more of The Paranormal View after the break.
Are you psychic? Do you often have dreams that come true? Do you have an interest in hypnosis or astrology? If you'd like to learn more about classes, events, and books on metaphysics, then go to our website, www.theartofmediumship. This is Kosmaskus, England School of Metaphysics, and author of The Art of Mediumship.
There's magic brewing behind the scenes at a new exclusive incense and essentials created by Master Jimmy Darling at Babylon Gardens Apothecary. The Stirring Cauldron Essential Oil brings knowledge and success. Use it in all forms of spell work. Create a perfect aspect of the self. The Witch's Oracle Incense enhances veil wisdom and prediction when used in readings with Marla Brooks' Witch's Oracle deck. But we've found it to be an extremely powerful tool in any form of divination. Create the ultimate connection to the divine when using this custom blend. The newest offering in the Stirring the Cauldron line is Love Potion number 9 3/4. This isn't your average love potion. It's a love thyself potion of attraction, which empowers you to draw not only love and romance into your life, but anything else your heart desires. Love Potion number 9 3/4 is available in both essential oil and incense forms. To find out more about the Stirring the Cauldron line of products, please go to www.marlabrooks.com and click on the Incense and Oils tab.
There's a darkness in the hallway. Voices
that seem to come from nowhere. Alone at night, there is a feeling that something or someone is near. Where can you go? Who can you turn to? Para-X Radio and the all-new Para-X Vision can help. Our knowledgeable host and expert guest can help you find some answers and take a glimpse into the unknown. Para-X Radio and Para-X Vision, programming for the open mind.
Hi, I am John Zaffis, and you are listening to Paranormal View on the Para-X Radio Network.
Hi, this is Mike from Mr. G's Ice Cream Store in Gettysburg, the most haunted ice cream store in town. Stop in and see us next time you're around. We feature 16 flavors of homemade ice cream made right here in the store. Look forward to seeing you.
Listening at home, at work, or anywhere. Thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Yeah, that would be me not paying attention. Welcome back, everyone, to the Paranormal View. I am Kat Kloko, who has too many windows open on her browser right now. Tonight with me, I have Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, Barbara Duncan, and our special guest, Dave Jones, who I have just embarrassed myself in front of.
Never feel like you've done that. No, Kat, you're doing great. I love it.
Oh, we're constantly pointing out when we gaff up on live radio. It's great.
Yeah.
Hey, it's people who don't do live radio are wusses. they really are, because you've got to do that. This pre-recorded crap, come on. You know, you can always go back and edit it. Live is where it's at. You know, that's when it's on the razor's edge. It's real. And
yeah, I was actually, we have one person who's gotten a ticket, and I was sitting there writing the email and everything, and I hear the thank you, and I'm like, oh, it's the thank you, and then it goes to dead air, and I'm like, I should be saying something right now. So yeah, no editing's for wusses. Go live radio.
That's right.
We've also had fun where Skype has decided we don't need Jeff on the call anymore, zoink, and I'm gone.
Yeah.
Or our guests will disappear, you know, unexpectedly, you know.
I do love the EVPs we get.
Oh,
the
yes,
show one is still the best.
Oh, man.
I had forgotten about that, yeah.
Oh, man. That was really early on.
Yeah, it was.
Barbara
yeah.
and I being co-hosts and just everything going silent. Who did we have on? It was a ufologist, wasn't it?
I believe it was. Is that the one about where just a word come in?
Yeah, suddenly the word Joe stopped, and I was like, who said that?
We were talking, and all of a sudden, here's a word, Joe? What'd you say, Jeff? It wasn't me. I didn't say it.
Yeah. Yeah, I just started out like, who said Joe? What? Why?
Yeah.
And there was another time I was house-sitting where I was just on the phone, and all of a sudden there was this manual typing going on. And I was like, I'm not on a computer, so it's not me. And no one else was typing. It was just tap, 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 tap.
Huh. Well, there was a lot of really good live shows, Dave. I remember especially the Paravision days with the live investigation.
Yes. Those were great. I was trying, if you remember one, this one stands out in my mind. Of how people can convince themselves that something is paranormal and it's not.
I think I know what you're talking about.
This was at the asylum. St. Albans. That's what it is. And we had set cameras up. This was when Scott Ladrigan and I were there, and we set these cameras up everywhere. One of the things that you don't realize about Para-X. Hug a show host today, if you would. The reason why I say that is that you have no idea what other people are doing or what you have to do to put a show on. But Scott and I, we stretched nearly, it seemed like a mile of Cat 5 cable. We put cameras all over this place. And we put them there so that hopefully you guys could see something happening. You know, maybe if there happened to be an apparition go by or whatever. And we had to physically switch between cameras. They didn't do it automatically. You know, so we had to sit there and push buttons the entire night and try to sound somewhat intelligent while we're going over this. And so one of the cameras was set up in an old bowling alley that was part of this asylum. And so we set it there, and they were talking about the fact that there was some kids that went in there. They were doing an investigation, and somebody came up and tapped them on the shoulder or whatever and just scared the bejeebus out of them. They just took off running. So that got to be one of those places that you had to put a camera, and we did. And all during the night, on the comments section, people kept talking about the little girl sitting at the end of the alley, bowling alley. And I looked at it, and Scott looked at it, and I said, what the hell are they talking about? And we started looking real close. There she is again. There she is. And as investigators would walk in, they kept telling us in the chat room, said, don't let them sit on the little girl. She's right there. Don't let them sit on her. And we started looking, and there was a pixelation going on where there's a reflection coming back on the back edge of that bowling alley. And their mind had formed this little girl sitting at the end of the bowling alley. And we said, no, that's just a pixelation. Oh, no, it's not either. I saw her move. I saw her this. I saw her. And so we nicknamed her Allie. And all night long, yeah, Kat, exactly, we named her Allie. All night long, people were talking about Allie and what the color of her dress was and all this stuff. And we were sitting there thinking, no, we even had people go up there and put their hand over Allie and block her out. Yeah, but no, it didn't matter. Allie was real. And so we finally gave up trying to debunk and just let it ride. And all night long, people were talking about Allie. So that's right. Back left-hand corner. Exactly. It was the most amazing thing. They were getting all over people. They were walking. They're afraid that people were stepping on her, you know, or sitting on her, or don't scare her off. She just got back again. So, yeah, boy, you know, we had some great times, even on stuff that didn't even happen. So,
well,
that's an aside.
We have a mystery guest with us now.
Indeed.
Yes. Who might that mystery guest be?
Bigfoot.
Yeah, somehow I think he probably does.
Only if you think size 13 is a Bigfoot. Hello, brother Dave. How are you, brother?
Hey, Tim. Doing great, buddy. Good to hear from you. And I hear great stuff, and I follow what you're doing. Man, you're doing great.
Listen, I pay a lot of people off. That's all there is to it.
Hey, whatever. You know, whatever floats your boat, man. But what was the name of your shop? Was it just the Voodoo Shop? It was a longer... I thought there was a longer name to it or something. I could have been wrong, but I knew... I thought that's cool.
it was the Voodoo Shop, and this cat and his brother over there, I always remember that... I think I sent you... every time you were on the air, I used to go and send you a bunch of questions. And finally, I think you guys got tired of me sending the questions. So then you're over there telling me, well, you need a show. And that was like about a year because I wasn't getting on the air. No way, no how. What a strange journey it's been.
Yeah, because Tom and I get off and I say, damn it. The only way to shut him up is give him a show. That's the only way to shut him up. And
I swear, that's it. That was it. You know,
that was it. You know, hey, I'm outed. But no, But Tim was one of the most interesting because we kept asking him, like, you know, be on our show. And, you know, to get him on there, it was fascinating. And, you know, and the things that Tim was filling us in on in the spirit world and those kind of things and the adventures and the experiences he had was just, you know, we were neophytes and to a greater or lesser degree still are. And Tim was filling us in on this stuff. And I thought, wow, you know, there's much more information about this and so many different levels of this I wasn't even aware of.
No, you guys were pretty much on the mark. I just happened to stumble in at the right time. That's all that was. Believe me. But, you know, I mean, if it wasn't for you, Dave, I wouldn't have had any of the opportunities, the book opportunities, the going to CBS, hooking up through Ideal Management, which really got my name out there, and you know, the pilots and sizzle reels that I've done for different networks and stuff. I would never have ever been able to do that without you guys. So, I mean, I owe you an unbelievable debt of thanks. And, you know, and especially when I was sick for about 5 years, you guys, I was limping through there and you guys all took care of me. And I can't thank you enough, Dave. It was really, you know, you guys were pioneers, and what was so neat about it was there was so much bad paranormal radio out there, terrible paranormal radio, and some of them were one step above Howard Stern type things, and people, you know, shock jock stuff, and really terrible interviews, and you guys actually pushed that bar so high. And I'll tell you what, I, as OCD as I am, and Dave will tell you that when it comes to sound, when it comes to a lot of things, I'm very, very OCD. You guys pushed me into that bar, and you guys pushed me into that state of almost excellence where, I mean, you guys really polished me and taught me how to deal with all the TV networks and TV people and all the insanity out there, you know, good and bad. And let's face it, I mean, you guys were just talking about, you know, what was his worst moment. And I think we all have had that. And, you know, it's just something that is so incredible. And the stuff that I learned from this gentleman was monumental, just monumental. Because again, I was just a gallery reader from you know, Buffalo that used to serve churches, and that was it. And I did a couple paranormal investigations on the side, and we did a lot of rescue, you know, spirit rescue work at the time. And you know, because of Dave, it kind of, you know, you guys really forced me into looking at so much more. And what I've learned over the years is all because of you. And that's the truth, Dave. You know, and I'm not going to get, you know, not going to get like all melancholy or anything, but boy, I'm going to tell you one thing.
Sounds a little late for that.
Yeah, I know. But do you remember back to Waverly when we were all there together, and that night where all the tornadoes were touching down and we drove into Waverly and the sky was green and lightning was horizontal? I, because of you guys, and I think we were doing a Para X thing, that night redefined my entire expectations of paranormal investigations. That was one of those nights that I can actually say I've had two peak nights in my career, you know, two peak investigations, and that was one of them. And I have never been able to go and replicate that night anywhere I've ever gone. And I'm going to tell you what, I always remember, like, that was one of those, I should have been wearing Depends nights when all the stuff that went on that night.
and thank you, Tim. Your kind words, I appreciate them so very much, because, no, you owe me nothing, man. Your friendship means more to me than anything else. And that's the great thing I take from all this. Having said that very quickly, which is probably the quickest thing I'll ever say tonight, but we went to Waverly, you know, and again, here's another pun coming, because we just had, you know, tornado warnings and all this stuff, tornadoes going by, lightning, you know, the night was electric in so many ways. You know, Tim had, and I won't tell the story for him, but, he was standing there talking to somebody who was one of the other investigators, and they just vanished. It was a doppelganger. That was there.
That was Aaron, wasn't it?
That's correct. Right. I think so. We were upstairs, and we were with the owners of Waverly Hills, and we were watching the. They had the infrared cameras everywhere that they had as part of their thing, and we were standing there, and one of the owners, Charlie, was walking up the steps. The only problem was Charlie was standing right next to me. And I, and yeah, so she looks and look. I said, "That's you, Charlie." He said, "No, hell, I'm not here, man." And it just it was doing that stuff all that night. There were EVP out the wazoo. We had people that were coming back. We had one in particular I remember. I won't call his name or anything, but he was a bona fide skeptic. There was no question, no how. That
you
this
shouldn't talk about Michael Lockabot like that.
Well, that's true. But he had gone down there. And there's this legendary apparition called Tim. Imagine that.
Hey, Timmy, you're famous.
Yeah. Timmy's a little boy that if you go up there, there's balls laying everywhere, beach balls, baseballs, everything laying up there, because supposedly what happens is that you roll the ball down the hall and Timmy will get it and roll it back to you. And this was the legend. And so, you know, everybody brings a ball trying to get little Tim to do this. And so we were sitting down there in the thing, in the area down where we meet. And we'd come back up there occasionally, just kind of rest and get revived and kind of tell about what we were experiencing. So we were up there and this guy comes rushing in there, tears coming out of his eyes. He said, I believe. You know, it was almost like the Wizard of Oz kind of thing. I believe. You know, clicking their heels together, wanting to go home. I said, what's the matter? And he said he was there. And he said, I just run through my mind how I thought all this was just pure bunk and everybody just, you know, they're imagining stuff. And he said, I was sitting there and somebody was talking about the little apparition, Tim. And he said, there was a ball sitting right next to me. And he said, I reached to grab the ball just to move it out of the way. And said, this little tiny hand came out and just touched his hand and went back. And he lost his mind. his whole way of thinking just evaporated before him. So I know exactly what Tim's talking about. Just one of those nights where everything was working out. And unfortunately, for me, was that I never had a single experience that night, personally, not one. But what we did do, and I don't know if Tim remembers this or not, was the paranormal group that came in there who had caught the video of the white nurse walking down the hallway at them.
Yes.
That kind of stuff was happening all night long. So, but no, Tim, man, you what you've got is what you've earned, man. You're terrific. And everybody that's around you knows it, and you've got what it is.
Well, I don't know what I got, but I think they have pills for it. I'm not sure.
don't cure it. Or something. Don't cure it, man.
But yeah, I mean that was one of those nights that I came home, and I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, I hanging out in the Lilydale Assembly and. Doing all this crazy, insane stuff that I did over the years. And that one night, it was just indescribable. I mean, yeah. And Aaron it was kind of neat because walking down that first, that hallway, and it was kind of early in the night and we're walking. And I remember Mike Lauk was off to the side and
yep.
I'm thinking that Aaron's like right in my peripheral, right, you know, right next to me. And I'm talking like an idiot. I am chattering away. And all of a sudden she disappeared.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I hear Mike yelling, where did Aaron go? Where did she go? Oh my God. And when we found out, Aaron was actually in front of us further on down. That was an incredible thing. But we, the opportunities to interview people that I would never have ever thought about interviewing and getting a chance to meet these people. And when I'm on the circuit now, you know, inevitably, they always bring up, hey, I remember when you were on Para X. I remember when you know, we had a great interview. And you know, I remember so many people that came on your show, Dave, before they made it in the big time. I mean, let's face it, let's just use the Booth Brothers, you know, as an example. They were just coming out and they were just promoting. But up to that time, they were doing a lot of, you know, B-grade horror movies. Mm. And
among other things.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, at that time, and nobody was married at that time. Those guys weren't. But anyway.
Yeah.
And they always remembered it. Every time I talked to Christopher, and I still you know, keep in contact with him. And
sure.
He always says, you know, he goes, really? He goes, you guys gave us such a boost. And for me personally, I remember when Krista Cesare was first coming out of the closet as a haunted survivor. And I guess you guys had passed, you know, my name along. And that created probably my best-selling book when I was able to go in and write the story of his experiences at Geneseo College. So you really, you know, pushed so many of us to that excellence. And I'll be honest with you, at the time there was what, maybe 10 paranormal networks out there. And you turned around and had really a good quality of shows and some really good hosts. Whereas if you look around now, you don't see that. You see a lot of people that, you know, gee, let's, you know, the old Mickey Rooney thing, let's go and put on a show to save the orphanage, you know, and they just kind of, it's so easy to put on, it's so easy to be on the radio, and it's not. And you hit the nail on the head. Live radio is extremely tough, and you have to know your subject matter inside out, and, you know, you and Tommy really did. And I also always remember picking you guys up here in Buffalo in that limousine.
Oh, I love that. That was one of the highlights. It was so terrific. We, you know, here comes Tim in this limo, you know, and we get picked up in, and we're riding around like the cat's rear end, man. It was terrific. And I appreciate that so much. And the first time I ever met Tim Shaw, the first time ever face to face, he lifted me above his head and held me up in the air. Yeah, he did Tom this way as well, but he got me and just got this huge grip and just lifted me up, you know, just shook me. I don't know if I'm sure you're still capable, Tim, but maybe not willing. No,
those days are done. I think. Hey, I'm retired now. I can't be doing that stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah, congratulations on that, too. That's fun to be retired.
Well, you're the guy that retired before me, so I was like using you as my role model. That's exactly what it was.
the time when you got lifted up was when you guys come up here and done the Sorg Opera House.
That's indeed the one.
That's the first time I met everybody.
That's the first time I met you, Henry. And I remember you up there, and you just had this grin on your face like a Cheshire cat almost the entire night. Every time I couldn't see anything else, but I could see Henry's teeth. I'd say, where is there?
I have a very important question to ask. Okay. You two, Tim and Dave, have investigated with Henry before, correct?
That is true, yes.
Yes. Has he ever seen a ghost while investigating with you two?
Not with me.
And not with me. That's the thing that I was saying earlier, is that I felt bad for Henry because everybody came up and had their favorite encounter. Mine was seeing the full body. That was the one that just blew everything out of the water for me. It was at Waverly Hills, as a matter of fact. So Tim was mentioning that earlier. Some of the other stuff, you know, I've been touched before by something, all sorts of different experiences. Henry seemed to be immune from that. Everybody else getting there comparing notes, like, oh God, you know, I saw Abraham Lincoln, shook hands with me. Wow. Henry's going, nothing happens to me ever. You know, and Henry, I'll throw the question back. Have you experienced anything?
As far as actually seeing something, the only thing I seen was where they was smoking cigarette, Dave Stewart Farm.
Like that's nothing.
But yeah. that's the only.
He's like, that's not a ghost. I'm like, ghost is Henry. Did it look like the creature from the Goon?
We went to Waverly Hills on one of those like that, and that's back when I smoked as well. So we go out there and we'd have little smoke breaks. We step out on a balcony and smoke, and people were snapping pictures like, I got a vapor. Look at this, I got a vapor. And what it was is our damn cigarette smoke floating around, you know, and they go over and show each other, like, wow, look at this, you know. Anytime you see a blue trailing thing like that and somebody's been smoking around you, I can guarantee you that's what it is. So you know, well, one of the things that has it got washed out earlier. One of the things that that TAPS had going for them, they started out initially on the right track, was, you know, go on the debunk side of things and let the evidence change your mind. And that's how they started. Now, what happened was, as they went along, is that the producer's like, no, we got to have some, you know, old crap moments. You know, I'm all cleaned up. I didn't use the S word, cat. But thank they wanted the old crap moment, like, you know, just before we go to break, you know. So they had to have those things. And so as each season progressed, it then became, instead of saying, well, that bang that you heard was not an apparition, it was a pipe. It was thumping or whatever. But that wasn't keeping people tuned in. So now you had to have something happen. So now the clunk that happened, where the guys look up and say, oh, well, that was a pipe that thumped. Now it was becoming a full spin around, like, oh my God, hear that? for those of you, go with that, because it's paranormal for a reason. If everything that happened on the frequency was the paranormal, the reason it's paranormal is it's a rare occasion when something happens that is outside the normal realm. And this is a special when it happened. You know, I can count on one hand probably the ones that had the most impact on me. Out of all that we did, you know, and all that we experienced and some of the interesting stuff that happened, it's a rarity when it happens, in my opinion, which is worth exactly what your opinion's worth.
Well, thank you for saying that, though. That's so true. Sorry, Jeff, go ahead.
No, I was going to say there was for a time, and I found out way too late, Sony or Panasonic had come out with a digital recorder that was so sensitive it ended up getting recalled because it was getting EVPs right and left, but nobody was in the paranormal field. So they were just like, we're getting extra voices on this. Is that right? And they're like, oh, well, we'll pull that. So now it's not available anymore, but it was like an EVP magnet like you guys.
Yeah, which I thought sucked, because that was one of the things that some folks had some of those that they'd gotten before they stopped making them. And they would bring them along, and it was remarkable what they were picking up.
Well, I do get EVPs now. I mean, I get them all the time. So, and I mean, good ones. So, but we have another mystery guest who has decided to fly in. So, are you there?
You just blew my cover.
Jeez.
Hey, Dave. Fly in. Very clever, Henry. Very clever.
I remember somebody who used to kind of eschew that title earlier on. I can't imagine who that might be.
And, yeah.
And that was one of the great things. Again, one of the things that I'm so proud of with Para-X, like the Tim Shaws and the Marla Brooks and the Henry Foysters and et cetera and on down the line. But one of those things is how lives have been altered for the good because of it. And again, that's the reason I say to the show hosts out there, you know, keep doing what you're doing and keep it real. Be serious about it. Be dedicated to it, because you don't know what kind of changes you're making in people's lives. Marla Brooks being one of those. And
you did a lot of neat things with the station and with us. And one of the things was that you have the trust in people that had never done a show before. Or, you know, at least the good sense to weed out the weeds from the chaff or whatever that saying is. But, you know, you did arm twisting. I mean, we all twisted Tim's arm, you know, to
That's
the point
true.
Of dislocation. But with mine, I mean, honest to God, you pointed out the obvious and it wasn't even there, because I did your show a couple of times talking about my Ghost of Hollywood books, and you kind of decided that maybe I should have a show. And I remember telling you that I didn't want to show because I didn't want to do another cookie cutter investigation ghosty show, right? Mm-hmm. I was just serious about that. And you, you know, took a breath for a minute and you said, but you've got something different to offer. And I'm like, huh? What? I swear. And he goes, well, you are a witch. And I went, oh, hell yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it didn't occur to me. So, you know, you kind of like pull stuff out of people.
Well, you know, you give me way too much credit. But one thing, you guys are, you know, your talent preceded you. You could tell that. But the thing that we wanted to try to do with Para-X particularly is that when we first started, it wasn't quite the groundbreaking thing that was bouncing around between our ears. Mm-hmm. It kind of evolved into this, is that it was more, you know, we are the ghost hunter bunch, you know, we're going to have ghost hunter show. Rah, 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 you know. And so as we went along, we thought, you know, you can flesh this out a lot better than that. You know, AKA the Tim Shaws and the Marlon Brooks, they had different kind of perspectives on this thing. You know, that the paranormal isn't necessarily just strapped on the back of a ghost. You know, the paranormal goes into a lot of different things.
Exactly.
And so when he got into psychics, I caught mortal hell earlier on with psychics. And here's the reason why. And for those of you who are out there who gave me hell, you're welcome. is that we got a lot of bad stuff because how dare you have psychics on there? I said, why not? Well, because they don't belong in the paranormal. Well, explain to me why not. Well, you know, and they went on the same way, you know, we're into the scientific evidentiary gathering of the spirit world, paranormal, whatever it happens to be, and psychics don't belong in that world. And what I kept trying to tell him was, wait a minute, hold the phone. Let's go back and let's say that again and listen to yourself when you say it. And it may answer your questions. Is that you're talking about a field that, again, has no any kind of parameters around it. And now you're telling me that we need to exclude people from it because you drew the lines? And who in the hell are you? You know, who gives you the right to define the box it's in?
Yeah.
And that, when they said that, that made me even more so, like, I hope we have 30 damn psychics on the network. You know, I think about where the witches, where the Wiccans and witches and those kind of things came in, besides some of the people just had a complete and utter misunderstanding or a lack of knowledge about what that is,
mm-hmm.
Who were, you know, more the Wicked Witch of the East West kind of thoughts. The one great thing about that, once we broached that, and you and Tim and others were terrific in that groundbreaking. So like I said, you gave me way too much credit. We had way too, mm-hmm. you give us way too much because mm-hmm. you did that. And once people listened to your shows and they heard your perspective and they heard your knowledge and your experiences and so on, and now their idea of what is paranormal, what isn't, is beginning to morph now.
It's okay, kind of morphing now into metaphysical, in a sense.
It is. It is indeed. And metaphysical was another name that people had a real problem with earlier on. And, you know, the whole thing about it was, instead of trying to throw everything out and say, you can't put that in our little world, you know, how much more wonderful would it be if you'd expand your horizons and bring some of this stuff in and listen to it and you know, get your mind out of your preconceived notions. Mm-hmm. Of that was put there by the Taps guys, or, you know, and I'm not throwing shade at them. I'm just saying that's the only model that they had.
Right.
And so therefore, the paranormal looks just like that right there. Case in point, like we did, naming our stupid paranormal society, so it sounded like Taps. We were guilty of as anybody. But you guys were the pioneers. I did was I just pointed the wagon train in that one direction, and you guys took off. So.
Well, all right.
Thankfully, no one has died of dysentery.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what, Dave? I mean, you let us. You gave us the freedom to be ourselves. You let us be innovative, and you guys were innovative. I mean, innovative. The first, I'm sure you remember that one day when Ron Kolick got a hold of us and asked if we could do a simulcast on TojiNet,
yes,
when he was in Salem. Mm-hmm. That had never been done before. And that was a very innovative thing to do. And I mean, look, you know, it was kind of fun. It was interesting. And also, you let me take over Para X for a night for like 5 hours to go to the Manson investigation thing.
Which was great, by the way, guys. I don't know if you've still got an archive of that, but
I've got some of it, yeah. It was amazing. 5 hours, I mean, for those who probably don't remember, we went to the house that was next door to the Manson murders, and it was close to the anniversary. We took Scott Michaels with us, Mr. Manson expert and mm-hmm. Hollywood guy. We had Gavin Cromwell from England. He was co-hosting.
Yes,
Mark Nelson was co-hosting.
Yeah. Okay.
yeah. But we had, so we had three co-hosts. We had a house full of people. We had Bridget, one of the Playgirl bunnies, Playboy bunnies. You know, she was there.
I'd forgotten about that.
Bridget
Barcore?
Yes, she was there.
I'd forgotten about that.
Yes, she was there. How could you forget that, Dave? I could sense you drooling all the way through the thing.
And you were correct, too, by the way.
I know. We kept typing to Dave because Dave was like, in the background telling us what's going on and numbers and, oh, my God, and we're doing this. And we took shifts and people went investigating this house where Sharon Tate and Jay Sebring and all that supposedly haunt, and with David Omen, and David Omen's doing a whole lot right now with that house still. And it was an amazing 5 hours, and we had interesting foibles trying to get on. All of a sudden the computers all stopped and stuff. The rest of the house was working fine, and I remember Mike Lear was needed to pens that night because he couldn't get us back, and we couldn't get our cell phones to work to call him. And yes. I mean, it was crazy, but that was something that, you know, we came up with, and you just said, hey, run with it. You know, you never asked questions when I asked you if we could do something. You just, and I'm sure with most other people, you didn't either. Except
who could say no to your voice?
There we go. You're exactly right, Jeff. That's it. But see, you guys had, you were trustworthy. And that's what's the great thing about Para-X is that the host owner, you know, except for, like I said, very few exceptions. There were some. Again, I won't mention, but there were a few. Yeah, but you know, when something like that happened, is to be able to have the opportunity to say, yeah, run with it. Call the other show host, say, hey, can we clear your schedule tonight? Sure, no problem. That kind of thing, having that kind of cooperation was just made this so much easier. The problems that we had, the things we had to deal with, were primarily politically from the paranormal, and I know that may shock some folks that the paranormal is political, but oh my God, that was the thing that we had to fight on a continuum, and that was the most wearisome thing of all, is having to go through that stuff and it got to the point, folks, and don't let this happen, and I'll explain this if Henry give me an opportunity, maybe about 5 minutes before the show is over, to explain why, but there was so much that you had to be careful of, because if you were talking to somebody who's friends with so-and-so who I don't like, so therefore I don't like you now, that kind of crap going on incessantly, unwavering, continual, over and over and over again, having to wade through that junk. That was the thing that caused the stress. The shows never did. The hosts never did. The topics never did. It was the incessant, again, I'm not going to use the S word again, Kat, although I'm tempted.
Go ahead. Just do it.
I better not do that. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about, folks out there.
By the way, for future reference, Marla, did you figure out whether or not it's actually haunted, or was it like a residual haunting? As a Manson
place.
The other is, I'm local. You could have just said, hey, Jeff, guess where we're going? Come on down.
That was years ago, and I don't know why we didn't, though. I mean, all right, you're local, Jeff. We're still local. All these years, we've never been face-to-face, right?
But, okay. Exactly, but now you're in friggin' Azusa.
Oh, shoot, 30 miles away. What? That's not...
Well, I take the bus, I mean, I thought it was ironic that we used to live in walking distance of each other. We never really said, hey, let's go have coffee or something.
I know, huh? Strange. Oh.
Wow. Well, if you're going to do an investigation in Hollywood or downtown L.A., let me know.
You got it.
There we go.
Now, I do got a thing here from, let me get it up, from Rock with a Shock. And he said that you were instrumental in helping him to build his audience by bringing him on the network, because he did his show on Para-X for a while.
Yes, indeed. And to Steve Shockley, we appreciated having him on the network so very, very much. And one of the things that disciplined me the most about the network was having to stop the music shows. And Steve knows why. There's nothing against Steve at all. As a matter of fact, it's one of the things I mourned about was the ignorance. And I hope that the FCC or whoever in the hell else is listening, I hope you get this directly from me. That's the most ridiculous thing. Because these guys were coming on and playing music, you know, and entertaining an audience and, you know, getting paid nothing. None of these show hosts are getting anything, guys. And they come in here, you know, every week and support this thing and do their shows and do it so marvelously well. They don't get anything for this. Nothing. If I were to tell you how much money was spent on Para-X Radio, it would stagger the imagination. I'm serious. It's really that bad. But what happened was is that I had gotten this letter from the I forgot even the name of the organization. Now, essentially what it is that they were named. Yeah, it was right. Exactly. They were the ones who the federal government had named to say, hey, you know, you're supposed to pay royalty for this. And we said, OK, that's not a problem. If you want to do that, we'll take care of that. Not a problem. We'll do it. And so we got all the information together. We, you know, whatever audience was and all that kind of stuff. And here's what we were going to do. Oh, no. They said, no. What you've got to do is that you have got to pay all the way back to the inception of Para-X and what we think was the listenership back to that time. And it was run into tens of thousands of dollars owed. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. No. And I think I came up with some real trite statement like, go to hell. Yeah. And that was it. I said, we're done. We can't do this. And that's the reason why it hurt me so bad. I have to tell, you know, and Steve's got his network going. It's going great and others. But it was just stupid. You know, we weren't trying to dodge anything. We weren't putting copyrighted stuff on anything. It was just, you know, people just having fun playing a few songs on there. But the fact that they were going all the way back to its inception without any proof of anything being played and setting up this vaporous amount of money and say, here's what you got to do to get back in, you know, in good graces. Well, we just couldn't do that. And so that's where all that stuff is. So, you know, I'm glad things working out great for Steve. He just did such an exceptional job and still does, you know, on his network and plays great music. And so hats off to you, Steve. And thank you.
And he's an excellent guest when he's on our show.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, he certainly is. And so, you know, that's one of those things we play by the rules. Others don't. And what was funny about it, and this is kind of a backhanded compliment to Para-X, is that there are other networks, as Tim has talked about out there, that do stuff. They never get those letters. They never get notified of anything. And you know the reason why? Because there's not that many people listen to them. they don't get the attention. And I'm not being, that's just the facts. They don't get the attention. The listenership here got the attention. And when it happened is that, boom, you know, here, well, let's knock you down. And fortunately, Para-X went past that. It's just unfortunate that the shows like Steve's and others had to be cut back. And I apologize for that. There was nothing else we could do.
Yeah, it's like they made the illegal leap of logic that listenership somehow equaled earnings in some way, some sort of monetary involvement.
And that was it. Is
like,
that
what? No.
Yeah, then that was it. What was happening was is that this was a direct result of the normal radio. Internet radio was a brand new thing. You know, if you've got an internet hookup and you've got you can do a radio station or a radio show. So that was kind of blown away. And so the land-based radio stations are going, wait a minute, we're at an unfair advantage here because we got to pay this and got to pay that and blah, blah, blah. And they don't have to do that. So that's what led to this. And so what happened was it was almost a punitive action to strike down internet radio shows. And we certainly were not like iHeartRadio. We were certainly not anything like that. But they did all together like, well, you're going to have to be charged the same as if you were iHeart, et cetera.
You know, we need actually another couple hours probably be able to – with all the stories and everything that we've got
Yes, I want Tim to finish his story about the Sorg Opera House, because I interrupted him.
Oh, yeah, Tim.
Tim?
Or my poor buddy Henry, all I'm going to say is I just kept looking for him. And again, the Cheshire Cat, I saw his teeth. And I'll never forget, we were down in the basement and we were doing table tipping. And he was off to one side. Remember that, Henry? You were off that one side.
I had my little camera going too.
Right. Yeah, you filmed the whole thing and you were taking pictures. And that thing is flying around and it's pinning Lisa J. Smith and it's popping out of place. And I look at Henry, and Henry's got this look of his eyes were just like, huh? What is this? And later he goes, pushing it, weren't you? And we're going, no, Henry, no. I never saw nothing like that. He goes, and I said, Henry, I said, get ready for the ride of your life, kid, because this is the fun stuff. And Henry has never stopped. And Henry, and you know, I got to tell you something about Henry. Henry is one of those cats that I give him so much credit because, again, he comes right out and says, listen, I've never seen anything. And in the beginning, he didn't have the experience. But boy, I'll tell you what, right from the Sorg Opera House, I always thought he was a number one top-notch guy. And he just kept coming back and he kept working and he's stuck with everything he's ever done. And I'm so happy that to this day that Henry, I can call you a friend. And you know, and the best one was when we were at Mansfield, we're gonna go meet up at some restaurant. And it only took me an hour to drive 5 minutes because the GPS kept sending me in another direction. I kept ending up at some other reformatory. And then I went to some max prison and I had to stop and ask directions there. And I finally met up with my buddy, Henry. But Henry has always been pretty true to what, you know, this whole thing. And I remember, Henry, do you remember the first time when you went to see Dave up at Scarefest.
You went, exactly.
You went 2 days in a row, and I thought, oh man, he's hooked. He's going to get para tattooed. Thank God, Patsy talked you out of that one.
No, the Sorg Opera House is the first investigation I was ever on with you guys, and I tell you, I wasn't into the radio. I'd never been on an investigation. Didn't know anything about it. You guys were great. I was afraid to go to start with, but Dave and Tom talked me into going. So I went.
No, Henry. Admit it. They didn't talk you into it. They badgered you into it.
That's it. Exactly.
Hey.
They straight out and said, Henry, if you're not there, we're going to talk about you on the radio. That's why you came.
Yeah, who else said that as their tagline for their show? You know, out here, we'll be talking about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I wouldn't know about that stuff. But anyway, I still talk about Marla, but that's, you know, that's a horse of another color.
Everybody does that.
Oh, Henry! Oh, my God!
Wow.
I had to throw it in there. You know,
Everybody
Marla, you know that.
Oh, I'm going to get you with my broom. You wait.
Well, now, like I said, we're down to like 10 minutes, and I want to appreciate Marla and Tim both for dropping by and talking with Dave, and really want to thank Dave for actually taking the time to come on and talk with us tonight. I mean, we have had a crowd, and people have just loved the stories and everything, and I know Dave was wanting a couple of minutes to be able to say something, but before I let him take the microphone again, sure. I want to remind everybody that next week, where are we going to be at, Kat?
We're going to be in Gettysburg.
All right.
And we're broadcasting live from where?
The historic Fairfield Inn with a live studio audience.
And who all is going to be there?
So many people, about 21.
We got
Nancy Duterte. We have our friend Don Allison, who had the most requested show of 2016. We have, of course, Henry and myself. There's going to be our friend Craig Rupp. We have Tina. We have Tiffany and Joe Mason. Let's see. We have, of course, Steve Shockley and Tammy. And we have Darcy and Patsy. And I feel like, oh, T-Fox. And
sounds like a weird version of the end of Romper Room.
Yeah. Yeah, I see Tammy, I see Marla, I see.
I'm just picking them off from the top of my head. So, yeah, we have a whole bunch of people coming this year to Gettysburg with us.
And we are going to have a lot of fun. Matter of fact, we get to do the Fairfield Inn two nights, don't we? Because
yes,
we got the whole hotel booked. There's six rooms there, isn't there? Five, something like that. And people that's going to be with us have all taken rooms.
Yeah.
I know Patsy and I is going to be staying at the Battlefield Bed and Breakfast, which is at the other end of the battlefield.
Yeah.
But
then we have people staying at the David Stewart Farm, which is where we were last year.
Right. And so we'll be investigating the Fairfield Inn Friday night and again Saturday night after the show. So do come back, listen to the show, because it will be another one of those nutty shows with all the people that we have there. And we'll have the people that owns the inn talking with them about the inn and all about the ghosts that are there. Yes. So it'll be a fun time. So you guys will really enjoy next week also.
Yeah, I know John, the innkeeper, and Josh, the general manager, plan on sharing their stories.
All right. And I know we've asked different people if they want to come, like Tim and Dave, if you'd like to come. And I don't know if you're traveling any yet or not, but you guys are more than welcome to come be with us. So Dave, you was with us at Ryan's Tavern.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
He had to sell Ryan's Tavern because some health issues. Mm-hmm. So the shame that they had to close that. They're going to, I forget what kind of restaurant they're going to open up with, but
it's going to be a wood fire pizza restaurant.
Yeah,
really.
And they're adding more seating. I'm really wondering who's going to run into the boss first.
That I don't know. Yeah. I know that they're making the room where we did the show at that one time, where they kept having voices in there. They're making that into a open area, kind of outdoor seating, kind of. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because they used to have, there was a noise that happened in there and voices at the same time every day.
Yeah.
And we were there with all the cameras and everything, and it didn't happen. So that kind of goes to prove sometimes that the spirits know when they're going, saying, well, screw you, I'm not going to do this. And, you know, we'll show you who's
I'm
boss.
I'm not a performing seal.
And that's what happens, you know. But I appreciate being on tonight, Henry. I appreciate you. I wasn't going to put you off forever because I promised I would be on.
Go ahead. I want you to say what you was wanting to say at the end of the show.
Yeah, and this is kind of a personal thing. I want to pass along to all of you out there in the paranormal field, because, you know, and Tim Shaw has always mentioned this, is the pendulum effect. It swings and, you know, it comes and goes. You get the high interest in all the television shows and all that stuff, you know, and then suddenly it'll swing back down where all that's come, you know, everybody got tired of watching it and it's off the air. And, you know, but the paranormal field is a dynamic. It's always going on all the time. It's always right there. It's leveling out. The reason I say all that is that, I have met so many wonderful friends in doing this. I've also made some horrible enemies doing this. And many times it was my fault because of the fact of my obstinance, which I'll own up to. So much so, even from a family perspective, it even happened. And it causes a lot of problems. Here's my advice, and the reason I want to just use just a couple minutes. Never take yourself so seriously that you harm people in what you do. Don't do that. On the other hand, stand up for what your core values are. Always do that. You can do it. You can do it a lot more diplomatically than I have in the past. But be yourselves. And don't let it become personal. You know, the whole idea of the paranormal field is not to become the next television show, not to be the next cable show. None of that, you know, those are, I was trying to think of the term for it. Those are side things that happen as a result of your dedication to what you do. Just be dedicated, do it. If somebody's going to notice you, they'll find you. Don't go to the extreme of trying to let that be the only impetus behind what you do. Take it from somebody who knows, is that there are some lasting implications to doing that. Just be yourselves. And if you're good at what you do and you're dedicated to what you're doing, you'll be found if that's what your purpose in life is. If it's not, don't sweat it. I've met very, very few people who got filthy rich from the paranormal. And I would dare say that you probably won't meet any yourselves. And those will not be you. But just enjoy what you're doing. And give it your best. Just be true to what you do. Be honest. The only thing, as I've said this many times when I was here at Para-X, the only thing we've got is a reputation. That's it. If you ruin that, then you lost everything. I'll shut up with that. Henry, thank you so much. Barb and Kat and Jeff, thanks so much for being here. Marlon, Tim, it's always a delight to be around you guys. And for those folks out there in Para-X, keep supporting this place. And you may be the next show host. Who knows? If you look at these people that are here right now, they have risen to the occasion, and you could be next. So just as I said, just be true to yourselves, and it'll all work out. Guys, thanks so much for having me. It has been a joy.
We don't want you to run.
Oh, I've got to run, though. I do, actually, so I apologize. But again, thanks.
Well, now you got so many stories, you might want to come on again sometime.
I certainly will. Just keep reminding me. We'll get another time. I'll be happy to come back, and we'll make it a little less melodramatic at the end. Okay. And just talk about some of the stuff.
Right. Dave, how close to Mansfield, Ohio are you?
Not very far. It's probably, 3 hours maybe?
Yeah, I'm about roughly 3 hours, and you're about 2 hours from me.
Yeah, so yeah, not too bad.
I don't have the dates yet, but sometime either late this year or definitely sometime next year, I'm actually filming a project that will be up at Mansfield,
And oh, no
my
kidding.
Producer is very much in the paranormal, and it's about the Mansfield killings in 1946 or 7, I forget which. And I'm one of the leads in it, and I'm finally going to be able to investigate the reformatory. And any Para-X folk that are local, feel free to, set up some kind of dinner or something. You know, I love some of these people.
Terrific. That'd be fun.
Well, Barbara, you got anything real quick?
I miss you.
Let me say this. I'm glad you said this. I've got just about 30 seconds, so I apologize, Barb. It's worth more than this. This lady, Barb Duncan, kept Para-X going forever. There was a time when I was backing away from it, and as I said, for obvious reasons, personal reasons, having to do with Tom, and she kept this place going by her own force of will and her own hard work. She won't own up to it. I know she won't, but I'm telling you, she did. So, Barb, thank you for keeping this thing afloat until it got to where, now you got great leadership going on. It'll be terrific. But Barb was just one of those people that stayed right there and did so much. So thank you, Barb.
Yeah, I'm the scruffy looking host herder.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you for herding us.
Tim, Marla, you guys got anything quick to say to Dave?
Oh, I think I've said more than enough, and Dave knows. We talk. We're not, just because Dave stepped away from Para-X doesn't mean that he stepped away from us.
Yes, indeed.
And that's one of the things that he said. It's not about the shows. It's not about the network. It's about the people, and the good people, we stick together.
Indeed. Thank you very much, Ron.
Dave, apart from Facebook, are you on any other kind of social media?
Nope. That's pretty much it. That's it. Yeah, I've dropped completely off the map. Thank goodness. You were better off letting me do that. Let me put it that way. It's one of those things where, we got you to a certain point, but I was holding you back. You're doing great now.
All right. Tim, you got anything?
Well, outside of Dave sending me those pictures with him not having any pants. you know, I mean, but yeah, it's really great. And again, you know what? I mean, a lot of people may think this is melodramatic, but in all honesty, Dave, you were an inspiration for so many of us out there that are still in the trenches out there working. And every so often, I'll run into somebody and they'll go, "Hey, whatever happened to Dave?" You know, I mean, we really enjoyed his show. And all I'm going to say is one thing that you used to tell me all the time, Dave, you need a show, even if it's frequent, but you need a show.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
I know a network you can get on like real easy.
I don't know, man. They may, you know, once you take the garbage out, you don't want it back in your yard. I don't know.
Tim wanted to do a show, but I think he was wanting to do one like every other week. So the off weeks, Dave could always fill in.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. Who knows? Yeah.
I'll have my people call your people now.
That sounds good to me. If it'll keep him on the radio, I might do it just to keep Tim Shaw on. So.
All right. Well, I really appreciate Dave you taking time to be with us tonight.
My pleasure.
Great show. And Tim and Marla, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for letting us in.
Well, you just leave your donations at the door.
You got it.
So with that, you guys have a great weekend, because we're way past time. Tat, anything you guys, how many people did you say was wanting tickets?
We'll talk about that later, Henry.
Okay.
Good night, everyone.
All right, then.
This is Jeffrey Gould.
Barbara Duncan.
And Henry Foister, and we will see you next week at the same time, as soon as I find my thing here. So we'll see you guys next week at Gettysburg.